Yud Zayin Sivan, Thursday the 7th of June, Rabbi Sholem Siegel, The Mystery of the Upside Down Nuns.
I was just wondering now, on the poster it was put down as topical theme, have they put down the title, The Mystery of the Upside Down Nuns? How would the people have read it? Would they have read it, The Mystery of the Upside Down Nuns, or The Mystery of the Upside Down Nuns? But we are speaking about Parshas Parleisachor. And this week's Sedra, we do have something quite unique, and that is that we have these upside-down nuns, something which we don't find in the rest of the Torah, extra letters turned upside down. Before we come to the halachic side of that, what exactly is the justification for having the upside-down nuns? Let's just speak a little about what exactly can we learn, what's the message, or perhaps a couple of possible messages the Torah is trying to convey to us with the two upside-down nuns on either side of the parasha of Vayehi ben Tzoeah Ha'aron. Rashi, quoting a Gemara in Shabbos, says that the Torah puts here, Nosin Simonim, it puts here these signs, these, if you want, brackets, to indicate that this parasha of Vayehi ben Tzoeah Ha'aron is a parasha. These two psukim are a parasha, are a sefer in their own right, and really they don't really belong here. The only reason it comes here is to be mafsik mein poronis l'poronis. It's in order to dispel the troublesome times of Klal Yisrael, to make a break between them. The parasha which precedes it, which the Mefarshim say refers to the fact that Klal Yisrael fled from the Har Hashem, and the parasha which is coming after it, that of the Misonanim. But why nuns? And why upside down nuns? What does the Torah want over here? At the beginning of Parashas Baha'alosecha, it says, Baha'alosecha es haneros, it's an idea I once said before in this small part of it, the Baha'alosecha es haneros, amul penei amenoros. Says Rashi, the Loshin Baha'alosecha, when you cause to go up, Baha'alosecha is an expression of maila, is an expression of having a step, a raised platform. And says Rashi, we learn from the word Baha'alosecha, that there was in fact a raised platform, there was a step in front of the menorah. Now, aside from the Poshet Peshat, that Rashi says elsewhere, that this would make it a little easier to clean the candles and to kindle the candles, there is perhaps an added message here, an added lesson. And that we explained, we said that in Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal gives a moshel to explain life. Life, he says, is like going through a very, very large maze, where there's hedges on this side, hedges on that side, and a person's lost, doesn't know where to go. And you've got somebody standing in the middle on a raised platform, on a podium, an old man, a wise man, a man who's had the experience of life, and he's made it through to the middle. And with his elevated position, he can see all the different paths in through this maze, and he can direct the person, he can give him direction and tell him, avoid that path, this is the path to take, and he can direct him through life. We said, that's Peshat Baha'alosecha es haneros. Somebody's got the guidance of Torah, somebody's got the light of Torah, symbolized in the menorah, stands on a raised platform. He's got a different cook on life. He's got a different viewpoint on life. What others fail to understand, he's able to see in a different light. That, I think, is the first message we're being told over here. The Gemara says in Brochus, Mipnei ma lo ne'eman nun ba'ashrei. If you go through the whole of Ashrei, Te'elo ledove, they go through Aramimcha, the Chalvyom, etc., all the way through, one after the other, it goes in the order of Aleph base. There's one letter which is omitted. Malchusecha malchus kol olamim, u'memshaltecha b'chol dov adov, that's the men. Seimich Hashem l'chol anufim. What happened to the nun, says the Gemara. Answer the Gemara, because the nun represents nefilah. Nofla le'seisif kum b'silas Yisrael. We don't really want to mention the downfall of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's missed out. The Gemara then goes on and says, but still, Seimich Hashem l'chol anufim, it is hinted at there. Okay. We see here that the letter nun represents the downfall of Klal Yisrael. The Ma'ariv Shemesh says in this week's Sedra, he says that the letter Nun, more accurately, it's the letter Nun, what we call a Nun Kufufa, the Nun which is bent, the Nun which we write in the middle of a word, or the beginning of a word, that's what represents Din, it represents Nefila, it represents suffering. But a Nun Peshuta, what we call the end of Nun, the Nun which comes to the end of a word, which is just elongated, that represents Rachamim. That's what he says. With that in mind, let's go back to the Pasuk. And some of this is from the Ma'ariv Shemesh. When the Oren, The Rabbeinu B'chai says, Oren is an expression of Eiro, is an expression of light. In fact, a rearrangement of the letters Oren is Ur Nun. The Ur of this elongated Nun, the end of Nun, the light of this end of Nun, the light of Rachamim. Vayihi bin Seah Ha'oren, when the light of Torah journeys forth, when the light of Torah lights up our world, Vayoyime Moshe, says Moshe, Kumo Hashem, is Midas Harachamim. The light of Torah arouses Midas Harachamim, and it gives us a different view, a different perspective on life. V'yofutzo yevecho, v'yonusum sanecho. All that suffering, all our adversaries, they suddenly, they're dispersed. That's the nuns. The nuns which represent the nefilah. The nuns which represent the suffering in life. The points of life which we don't really understand why it's happening to us. Both the nun before the parasha, both the nun which comes in the past, the suffering we've had throughout our history, and the nuns in the present and the future, which we're looking at, whether it's the economic crisis in the world, whether it's the suffering which is going on in the world, and we don't understand, those nuns are turned upside down. That nefilah is turned upside down because the Ur of Torah arouses, it evokes the Midas HaRachamim on the one hand, to lighten the punishment, but also, as we said, the light of Torah gives us a different viewpoint on life. And suddenly the things which we never understood, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing this to us? We begin to understand the nun before and the nun afterwards. The suffering in the past and the suffering in the future, the suffering in the present, are turned upside down. We get a different understanding. That's why Yehi bin Tzoyah Ha'oren. When the light of Torah journeys forth, the light of Torah lights up that darkness of Godus, we just begin to get a bit of understanding. That's perhaps one lesson. One further lesson goes like this. The gematria of the letter Nun, let's start with this. The gematria of the letter Nun, Nun Vav Nun, is 106. Nun Vav Nun, 106. So two Nuns, 212. Resh Yud Beis. They say that Rav Shimshon, the Astropoli, says that Resh Yud Beis is the name of the Maloch, which is Mamuna, which is appointed over the power of Shekha, of forgetfulness. That's what they say. That's what Resh Yud Beis is. What is the letter, that's the gematria of the two nuns, but what does the word Nun actually mean? What does Nun mean? I think it comes from the expression, the word for progeny. Nin v'necht. Nin means a child, a grandchild. In Aramaic, what's the word for a fish? Nun. Nun eyamo is the fish of the sea. And we know fish are synonymous with peru revu. V'yidgul oro v'keref oret. So the nun represents our future, the future descendants. The Gemara says in Vav Metzia, Lo yomushu mipicha mipi zaracho mipi zera zaracho. Says the Gemara, if you have three generations of Talmidei Chachomim, a father, a son, a grandson, Lo yomushu mipicha mipi zaracho mipi zera zaracho. If that's the case, Omar Hashem, mi'atov v'ad olam. The Torah will stay in the family forever. That's what the Gemara says. Three generations, Zechut HaMeshulash Levim Hira Yenosik, it's Chazoka, it's staying in the family. We have on top of the Oren, you have the Oren itself, the symbol of Torah, and what do you have on top of it? Two Keruvim. The Keruvim have the facial features of children. Two of them, for two generations. You've got the Oren itself, the father who's going to give over the Torah to one generation, one of the Keruvim, and then to the other of the Keruvim. You've got the Parsha of Ayi bin Tzai Ha'oren, and you've got the two Nuns. Each Nun, as we said, representing one generation. Nun being progeny, as we said. On the one side and the other side. That's what the nuns represent. Says the Torah. Once it stayed within the family three generations, you've got Vayhi bin Tzoharim, it's the parasha, it's the Torah itself, it's the Oren journeying. Where's it journeying to? To the one nun, to the first generation, and then through to the second nun, to the second generation. When that happens, then the two nuns are turned upside down. That nun, the power of forgetfulness, the power of the risk that Torah will be lost, will be forgotten, That's turned upside down. Once Torah is within the family for three generations, it will never be forgotten. That's the idea of the upside down nuns. The nun means children. Two nuns mean two generations of children. You've got the father with two generations. Once the Torah has journeyed that light of Torah journeyed through two generations, then the two nuns, which we said is the power of forgetfulness, is turned upside down because it's guaranteed they'll stay in the family. You may well ask though, but we see, what's Pshat in this Gemara? We see cases where you've got rabbinical dynasties where for generation after generation, Major Talmidei Chachamim, and then Nebuch, could be one of their children, goes off the derech. So how does that fit in with the pattern? The answer is, there's a Medrash Rabbah in Sefer Shemois which says, Moshe Lamar Adava Domeh, you've got a child, a prince, the son of a king, who gets captured. Many, many years later, he's freed, he comes back to his father's estate, and he sees his father's long gone, and the estate has been taken over. Says the Medrash, will the child, will the prince feel any embarrassment, will he feel any busha to claim back their estate? Says the Medrash, of course not, it's his by Yerusha. Says the Medrash, so too. The Torah is ours by Yerusha. And therefore says the Medrash, if you get somebody who's learnt a lot of Torah, and then he gets seized, he gets captured by the Yetzer Hara, by the enemy, and then he comes back, there's no need to feel embarrassed. He can come back any time. But you'll note, what does it say? What do we say? We don't say Merosha Kehelas Avraham. We don't say Merosha Kehelas Yitzchak. We say Merosha Kehelas Yaakov. Why Yaakov? The answer is that three generations. That's the Chutam Shulosh. Avraham Taka had Yishmael. Yitzchak had Esau. Or but Yaakov, once he reached that stage, 12 tzaddikim, the Torah was there to stay. It was a Merosha to Yerusha. And therefore, yes, it can skip a generation. The Gemara is not saying it will never skip a generation. But what we call the Pintele Yid, that Pintele Yid will be passed, the gene will be passed throughout. That gene is there to stay. Sometimes it'll be a dominant, and sometimes it'll be recessive. But it's always there. That gene's always there. And perhaps that's what's going on in these two Pesukim. Vayihi bin Seah ha'oren. Sometimes the Oren, the light of Torah, will be journeying, will be active, will be dominant. You'll have a child who's learning and he's showing the Torah on mitzvahs and it's going all fine. At that time, you see the power of Torah, the light of Torah. Continues Moshe Rabbeinu. Ubunuchoy, you can get sometimes and the Oren will be at rest. The gene is recessive. What's to be said at that time? Yomar, at that time, says Moshe, Shuva Hashem. It's an imperative. Hashem will return. The light will come back, whether it's to him, whether it'll be to his son, to his grandson, it will come back. Perhaps you could even, I don't know if it's a bit pushed to say, but Shuva Hashem river voice. That's the expression of river gain, the expression of forgetfulness. Why is it doubled? You find Yerakrak, Adamdom. River voice is a double riv. Shuva Hashem river voice, there will never be forgetfulness in this time. Shuva Hashem, Hashem will turn it around. This is what's going on in the parasha over here. Once it's gone through the three generations, once it's gone through the two nuns, the Torah is there to stay. Torah is nitzri. And that is because, as we said, it's Merosha Kiras Yaakov, it's a Yerusha. Somebody who sells his Yerusha, somebody who sells Steachuzo, his heritage, land which has been passed down through the generations, what happens to it? Is it gone? No, it comes back in Yovel. You can't sell your Yerusha, you can't sell your Achuzah, what's been given to you from generations, from previous generations, is there to stay. And that, I think, is perhaps the second message here. So again, the first message is, that somebody's got the light of Torah, those nuns, the suffering, the nefilos, are turned around. We get a different perspective on life. And the second message is, that once the Torah is gone, it's journeyed through the two nuns, it's gone through the two generations, the Torah is there to stay. It can skip a generation, it can be recessive. Of a Shuva Hashem, Hashem will return. Whether it's that generation, whether it's a generation to come, it will come back, the Torah will come back. Now turning to the halakhic question in these nuns. There's a halakha in Shulchan Aruch, in Yeredeya, in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Reish Ayin Daled, it says, Sefer HaMunukot, a Sefer Torah which is punctuated. Somebody decides he wants to make it easier for the Baal Kore, or the Baal Kriya, but we'll call him the Baal Kore because that's what he's commonly known as. Somebody wants to make it easier for him, so they punctuate the Sefer Torah. What's the halacha? It's possible. Why is it possible? So the Rishonim give two separate reasons, maybe they are one and the same, but the idea is, the Ramban says, is because the Torah has to be kinesinot and sinai. It has to be as it was given down at Sinai. And when it was given at Sinai, it did not have any punctuation. No notes, no dots, nothing there. There's another reason given for it, and that the Ramban also says, Rabbi Yerucham says, is because the Torah has to be given as a Masoda. Once you punctuate it, you've limited it. You can only read it one way. As long as there's no vowelization there, you haven't punctuated it in any way, we know there's all sorts of sodas, there's all sorts of mystical and deeper ways of reading the Torah. The Ramban says in his Hakdamah, he says at the beginning of his Pirush HaTorah, that the whole Torah is Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we only knew how to rearrange the letters, where to make the breaks. Once you punctuate it, you've ruined that. Therefore, a Sefer Torah which has got any punctuation, any letters added to it, is possible. Just agav, before we come back to our Indian, is a very interesting shayla. What about Megillas Esther? Megillas Esther, we're a little more makel. If you take a look in Hilchos Megillas Esther, in Hilchos Megillah there, if you've got a community where there's no one who can read, so then there is a little bit of a heter to punctuate a little bit to make it easier for him. So the place can speak about what about to draw, you know, people draw caricatures and all sorts of nice art around their Megillah. So a lot of people, this was the Minhag in many places they used to, you know, I think still today you find people who have got these nice Megillahs with all sorts of pictures. And besides that, some have a keser, they have on top of the words Hamelech, or on each column they have a crown. What's the din with that? The Rabbah says, he says he doesn't like it. He says because, number one, because the Megillah has got certain, regarding certain things, at least it's like a Sefer Torah. And in a Sefer Torah, most definitely you can't do that. But number two, he says, is because it's like a Siddur. In a Siddur, you don't have pictures and things in a Siddur because it's going to despoil one's Kavanah. You're going to be too busy looking at the pictures rather than concentrating on davening. In Mishnah HaSofer, that's from Rabbi Yaakov Meir Stern, he's one of the Mumchim in Hilchos Tam in Eretz Yisrael. He says, the nafkamina between these two reasons makes a nafkamina in the halacha. He says, when it comes to drawing crowns, he says, there you could be a little more makel, because that's not going to disturb kavanah. To have a crown drawn in ink is not going to disturb kavanah. But he says, to start drawing pictures, he says, one shouldn't do. I heard from my brother, he's a sofer, he's actually spoken to Rabbi Yaakov Meir Stern about this. And he said to him that the Rabbi Yashiv, his loshen is, he says, a Yerei Shamayim would keep away from it. Yerei Shamayim wouldn't get involved in such things. My brother said, on the other hand, he's heard B'Shem Rav Shammai Gross, he's also one of the Mumchim in Hilchos Tam in Eretz Yisrael. He says, no, it is a little bit d'yevet. But he says, as long as the pictures are batam, that snore, he says, not the end of the world. And as the Zera Emma says, in many places, that was the minhag. So we've got these two schools of thought, those who have a minhag to do it, there is justification for it. No, is it lechatz chilah? Maybe not. But that's with regard to Megillas Esther. But coming back to our Shaila, the case in the Sefer Torah, to start adding letters, what's the justification for that? So much so, then the Shaila Shuvas Maharshal, the Maharshal says, he says, I'm not having any of it. The Maharshal says, we've got to do away with this minhag. He says, we don't put nuns in the Sefer Torah. He says, because there's no real makar, only he says he found in the Zayar Kodesh, it brings this. But he says, we don't do this. He says, what it could mean, and he's seen many examples of various different sort of plays on the same idea. What we do is we turn over one or two of the nuns in the parasha itself. Vayihi bin Zayar, the nun of bin Zayar is turned upside down. Or Kemis Einanim, the nun and Kemis Einanim is also turned upside down. But he says, but to start putting nuns in the Sefer Torah, he says, no way. However, we know our minhag is that we do, that's in accordance with the Nodeb Yehud and others, because they say, once you turn the nuns upside down, he says, no longer nuns. So you don't have any extra letters in the Torah. It's like, you've got a bit of ink in the Sefer Torah. It's nishkefer, look, you haven't punctuated it in any way. It says the Nodeb Yehud, we've got nothing to worry about. And that's the way we are knowing. Great me inyan the inyan. So what about, there's a very interesting shayla that the post can speak about, is many people, perhaps they'd love to be able to learn, but they can't because they don't have the time to learn it, they're not so fluent in the Torah. So somebody came up with a very interesting innovation. And that is the idea, take a piece of plastic, and you print onto the plastic all the nekudas, and the plastic's made, tailor-made to fit each column of the Sefer Torah. So in other words, each parasha, when it comes to the parasha that week, you take out the piece of plastic for that week, you open up the Sefer Torah nice and wide, you put the plastic on, it's a bit like a stencil, and then you can read it. There's nothing written in the Sefer Torah extra. And yet, you've got it in front of you. What's the halacha?
Should be like glasses. like reading through glasses.
Oh, so now, that's one side of the shaila. Is it a hefsek? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's got a teshuva where he speaks about something slightly different, and that is that there are places where they put a protective film of nylon on the Sefer Torah, fixed onto the Sefer Torah to protect it, because people spit sometimes and it causes the egg to spatter and things like that. He says that he doesn't like. He says he's got no raya per se to say it's also. He says libi oimeli, and he brings a bit of a raya to it. He says that, he says, and it's not the same as glasses, he says. He says that's tafkei hefsek. The poskim, they're not, they do seem to say that it's not quite the same as glasses. Somebody suggested a theoretical, perhaps more theoretical, perhaps you could, even if you wanted to say it was a hefsek, so do it with an overhead, I'm not talking about Shabbos, theoretically with an overhead projector. Project it, or somebody said to me yesterday, what about do it from underneath? If you use a very powerful light from underneath, you could do it through the Sefer Torah. There are ways of doing it. If Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he says it could be a problem with hefsek, so he says, but there's an eitzah to get around that. That is, you cut out the part where there's the osius. In other words, you just have plastic running underneath the letters, with all the nekudas and the trop and things like that. But the actual osius, you can see straight through without any plastic. What's the bottom line here? Let's just think about it before we come to what the person said. Again, if it's got to be kinesi nasa nisinai, if the Sefer Torah has to be as it was given at Sinai, so it is. I haven't touched the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is as it was given at Sinai. If you say, however, the problem is, it's got to be, the problem is you've messed up the Masoreth. So then you have to know, does that mean the Masoreth, well, the Sefer Torah is not the same Masoreth still? Or do you say, when I'm reading it, I'm not seeing any Masoreth anymore. I'm seeing it like reading from a Chumash.
The light is also isolated, even though you can't see it. The light around it is
isolated. Yeah, but no, if you cut right around it, says Mukhf Kabil, you may not have that problem. You can get around that problem. So you could say like this. Maybe we could be madame to the following case. What about a kriik sip? Let's say it says in the Torah, hana'ar, and I have to read it as hana'aro. Very fine. So, na'ar and na'aro. What's na'alocha? We're going to come to this, we have time, Be'ezus Hashem, soon. You have to read everything from the Sefer Torah. But it's not written in the Sefer Torah. The word na'aro is not written in there anyway. So maybe it says, vayomel ha'na'aro. So maybe I could read from the Sefer Torah Vayomer, and then just take a break, you know, just a breather while I say the word Lanaro, look outside the Sefer Torah. It's not written there anyway. What's the halacha? The halacha the Shari Ephraim says, and Rav Shlomo Zalman brings the halacha as well, is you have to look at the Sefer Torah when you're laying it. You're right, you don't see the word Lanaro there. But you have to see the word Lanar, and then laying it from memory as you know it should be. That's the halacha. So what's the point? The point is I have to see the Maseris in front of me, and then use my memory, use any aid I want, to lane it as it should be laned. So you could argue, when I'm looking at the Sefer Torah, especially if there's no actual hefsek there, I'm seeing the letters, I see the Sefer Torah, I see the Maseris, so what difference if my aid is somebody standing at the side, nudging me, telling me what to lane, or whether I've got a chumash at the side, or whether I've got a piece of plastic there, what's the difference? The Maseris is in front of me. I'm seeing the Maseris, I'm seeing the Sefer Torah, and I'm using a visual aid to help me along. That's what we could argue. Lemaisa, the poskim say that, strictly speaking, they can't really see a real problem. The majority of poskim say they can't see a real problem with it. However, don't try and be too clever. Don't try and be clever in the earlier Torahs. Don't be mechadish chadoshim. They say, b'mokim tzerech godol, it could be a person could use it. For bar mitzvah bocha, they suggest maybe if he needs it, there is a mokim, there's definitely a mokim, because strictly speaking, the ikar din, they can't see a major problem with it. There's a very similar shaila. The Shevet Halevi speaks about, he says, there was a Sefer Torah from a Taimani Shul where somebody had actually etched into the cloth. There was no ink there. They'd etched into the cloth using like a metal scalpel or something like that. They'd etched in certain nekudas, things like that to help the barcode. Now, on the one hand, there's no ink there. On the other hand, it's not just space. Space, the Rivosh says it aloud. You leave a gap between one posuk and the next to indicate where the break is. As long as the gap's not too big, it's not, the Ramal says it's alright. But here it's not a gap. You actually etch something in. So there were various Avreichim who, they refused to get, if they got called up, they refused to make a bracha on the Torah. So somebody took the initiative to go ask, he asked Rav Shmuel Volkov, what do we do? On the one hand, do we have a problem? On the other hand, it could be we've got, there's a Gemara which says, if you give somebody a Sefer Torah and he refuses, he turns it down, it's not a skula for a long life, let's put it that way. So, what do we do? So Rav Shmuel Bosner, he goes backwards and forwards, and he says, Lamaisi, he doesn't like it. He thinks it's a problem. However, since he says, since there are Mekidim, and obviously the Rav of this shul, he did allow it, he says, L'chatzchila, don't get yourself called up. Try to get out of it. But if you're already called up, he says, rely on the Mekidim, and you should make a bracha, rather than being included in what Chazal, you know, receiving the Sefer Torah and signing it out, you shouldn't get involved in that. Another shaila. And the plastic I've never seen done, but this case I've seen done. And that is, can a person leave a chumash at the side of the Sefer Torah? Person he hasn't prepared as well as he should have, and so he wants to have a chumash at the side. So therefore, every time you get stuck, you have a quick look in the chumash, and then back into the Sefer Torah. So before we discuss that shaila, let's just clarify, what is the halacha? Do you have to read from the Sefer Torah? This is not only for the Baalei Kriya. Somebody who's called up also has to read from the Sefer Torah. What's called reading from the Sefer Torah? Let me explain to you what I mean. If you read a pasuk, and you read every word as you see it, your learning is going to be a little, what they call it, it'll be staccato. It's going to be Vayidaber, Hashem, El, because that's just the way it's going to be. The way you can try it out, the way it works is, when you look at the word Vayidaber, by the time you've already gone on to about the second syllable, your eyes have already moved on to the next word. That's just the material. So you've seen the word, you start learning it, and your eyes have already moved on to the next word. Because as I said, otherwise, your learning is going to be very broken up. I always wondered, you know, is this called Kriya from the Sefer Torah or not? And I found the post, and they all say it's not a problem. And I haven't seen anyone who says it's a problem. Because they say, Tukhde Dibrodomi, you've got a couple of seconds anyway, as long as you read it within a couple of seconds, it's fine. Others say, it's normal way of reading. The normal way of reading, as we just said, that's the normal way of reading, that's called Kriya from the Sefer Torah. There is a Shaila, however, what about the other way around? Because you're so familiar with the Leining, so let's say Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, and the word Lema is on the next line. So by the time you move the Yad down to the next line, you've already started the word Lema. So I've started saying the word, and I only see it a second afterwards. So the Eishal Avraham Ivar Chachi says, well, Tokidei Dibukadibadomi doesn't make a difference what the order is. Others are not so sure about that. And the Mashmolus is from Ramosha Feinstein. The way I understand it, he doesn't seem to agree with that. And I think there's a very, very strong argument against it. Because Tokidei Dibukadibadomi is not been serious that it's happening now. What happened in 2 seconds is not sure that it did happen now. It's just we consider it halachically as if it's happened now. When it comes to learning from the Sefer Torah, we need a bimetzius. You need to learn from the Sefer Torah, otherwise you're learning from memory. The fact that you see it in 2 seconds time, you can't consider it as if I saw it. So let's say I consider it as if I saw it at that time. Lemaisa, you learn from memory. You've learned from a chumash. You haven't learned from the Sefer Torah. Again, they leave it a little sorry, and it's not so clear whether a person the other way around, seeing afterwards, may be a little more problematic. Rabbi Avadi Yosef as well, he brings the Eishal Avraham about Chosh, he says Sorechian still. Coming back to our Shaila then, so to have a Chumash at the side. So the Eishal Avraham about Chosh, Vishitosai says, no problem, what's the problem? What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to look at the Chumash, and you're going to say the words, and you'll look back at the Sefer Torah, within a couple of seconds you'll see it in the Sefer Torah, so no problem. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seems to say, no, you've got to actually, you can look at the Chumash, better have somebody pointing there so that you can look, you know, go backwards and forwards. But make sure you see it in the Sefer Torah first. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he argues very, very valiantly against this. He says, no way. He says, there's no way you should have a chumash at the side because he said you cannot trust yourself to say that you have learned from the Sefer Torah. He said, if you see the word in the chumash, and I've seen this, I watched somebody do this. I was very, very put off. And I was watching, where was he looking at the time? He looked at the chumash continually backwards and forth. Slowed down, looked at the Chumash, and I watched him, he's saying the word before he looked at the Sefer Torah. So fine, according to the Eishal Avraham Ivar Chach, you're fine. But according to the others, depending on whether you can say he saw the word beforehand, but even if he did see the word in the Sefer Torah beforehand, do you say at the end of the day, now he's just seen the Chumash, he's learning from the Chumash. So, the bottom line is, to be machriya between them, I can't be machriya. It's definitely not lachatzchila a person, it's lahalokha a person, has to prepare the leaning. Don't lean without preparing. But yeah, there is a mockery, but Rav Moshe says a better eitzah. I mean, not everyone agrees that there's a better eitzah. Have somebody stand at the side, help him out. He says, just make sure you know where the Sofi Pesukim are, where the Esnachtas are. But the evidence of a person did lean a word off by heart, the Mogen Avraham, the Machzal Shekel, they say one word or something like that is not the Ikubah. There are Machmirim, but we have what to rely upon if a person did lean a word off by heart.